good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in. Hope you're having a really great day. Well, here's a question for you. What is the opposite of love, especially in the context of marriage? What would you say is the opposite of love? Well, if you said selfishness, you'd be correct. And my guests today are my good friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley with Focus on the Family. They join me today to talk about how to fight selfishness and promote love within your marriage. A couple quick announcements, though, before we get them on. I love these two. We're so honored to have them about every other week, and we just love it. So we'll get to them in a second. But I am super excited to tell you that I come to the studio today with 12 tickets to the Thrive Conference. It's coming up. I don't know where you're listening from, but this conference takes place in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Very worth it. It's a Friday to Saturday. It's going to be epic. Ann Voskamp and Lisa Turkhurst will be speaking. I will be emceeing. There's going to be amazing worship. I mean, to tell you, it is just, the Thrive Conference is just bar none. I have 12 free tickets. So first of all, you got to know, can you go October 13th, 15th? And I do a lot of conferences around the nation, and this is really top notch on every single level. If you want in on winning a ticket, all you have to do is email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com, put Thrive in the subject line, give me your mailing address, and I'm going to grab 12 names today. You're going to get a free ticket in the mail, and I think you should get that by the end of the week, by this weekend, for sure. So that's pretty exciting. All right, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Also, you just have to look around, watch the news, and note that as Christians, we need to be praying. We need to be praying, and Scripture says that the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous accomplishes great and powerful things. If you are someone who loves to pray and you want some more direction, join the Faith Radio prayer team. You can sign up at our website at myfaithradio.com. I believe you give them your zip code, and that they kind of track, they give you specific prayers to pray for your city, for the families in your community, and just great prayer direction, sample prayers, that kind of thing. Again, that's on myfaithradio.com. I'm focused. I can do this. All right, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Dr. Greg Smalley serves as Vice President of Marriage and Family Formation at Focus on the Family. Aaron serves as a strategic marriage spokesperson for Focus as well. They're both authors and speakers based in Colorado Springs. They've got a beautiful family, and you can find their influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dr. Greg and Aaron, welcome back to the program.
It's always great to be with you, Susie.
It always is. Mm-hmm.
We just love you to pieces so very much. And you know the drill. You've been on almost more than anybody else. We love to start by talking Scripture. And Aaron, I'll start with you. Is there a passage of Scripture that you just had in your mind these days?
Yes. I've been studying Romans in Bible study this semester. And it was interesting when Greg told me the topic that we were going to cover on selfishness, this verse came to mind right away, and it's Romans 8:6. The attitude that comes from selfishness leads to death, but the attitude that comes from the Spirit leads to life and peace. And I just love that because it's exactly true in our relationships as well, that when we are focused on self, I mean, that's going to lead to damage, to disharmony in the relationship. But when we are guided by the Spirit and allowing Him to lead us, that's going to bring life and invigoration and peace in our marriage. And so what a gift that is.
Boy, that's fantastic. What do you say, Greg?
Well, I love how you said what's the opposite of love. In 1 Corinthians 13 completely agrees with you that it is selfishness when it says love does not insist on its own way. Mm. And I just love that. It's just a quick phrase that I should tape to my bathroom mirror just to memorize and meditate and reflect.
As long as
all
you don't put Aaron on the front so it looks like a note to her, just so you know, Aaron.
That's right. No, I'm agreeing. I'm shaking my head. Yes, put that on your mirror. But do not put my name on it.
This is a very unsafe conversation all of a sudden.
You're kind of flanked by a couple of strong-willed women.
Yes.
You're going to be okay, buddy. You're going to be okay. So I want to know, Greg, how did this topic arise? And this is always so interesting. I say this every time you guys are on, that it's always, to me, it's almost like the holidays when I think, what's this going to be? What's your going to topic be next? Like,
what happened now?
Yes.
Well, it was a surprise to me too, Susie. So go ahead, Greg.
Yeah.
Well, we were in Nashville attending a big Christian counseling conference. Got to see a lot of great friends. One of my dear friends, a mentor in my life, his name's Dr. Gary Oliver. we were going to meet up for breakfast one morning. And knowing my friend Gary, he will always ask great questions. A routine question that he'll ask is, hey, what's one thing God's been teaching you as of late? And so as I was sort of walking down the hallway to meet him, I just was reflecting on that, thinking, yeah, he's going to ask me that. I should probably have an answer so I don't look like I completely don't love the Lord and am not growing spiritually. And so as I was walking, kind of felt this season of going, you know what, man, things are pretty good. You know, I'm doing all right. Nothing big and major. It feels like God's not hitting me over the head with anything. And so, but as I was walking, thinking about that, I had this flashback to when Erin asked me, she was coming in from a conference that she was speaking. She was going to land in Denver. We live in Colorado Springs, about an hour and 10 minutes apart. She said, hey, I want to get some tickets to some show and take Annie. So we'll have kind of a fun mama-daughter, God, I can't even talk, mother-daughter, little fun date night. She goes, would you mind just to drive Annie up? You can drop her off, then you can head home. It seems very simple, other than the fact that in my mind I'm thinking, what? Seriously? Wait, you want me to drive for 3 hours just to deliver Annie so you guys can go have this fun evening? And it was really interesting how as I'm walking, that story flashed into my mind. And it was, I think, God's way of saying, hey, son, I love you, and I know you think things are going really, really well, and in many ways they are, but let's not forget, you've got this little thing called a sin nature, and there are times that you get really, really selfish. And for me, that was just a good humbling moment of going, you know what? You know, I really came down hard on Erin, kind of saying, that's crazy, and I'm sure the tickets are too expensive. It's such a far drive. I've got my routines. It's Sunday, my day of rest. Really? You want me to spend it in this car? I mean, I was thinking of a dozen reasons why this was a really horrible thing to ask.
Did you do it?
Well, no.
Why didn't you do it?
Because I told you I wouldn't, because I didn't want to.
Sorry, I didn't mean to make you feel bad. I thought for sure you were going to say you did it, but
I'm
bless
confessing.
Your heart.
Oh.
No, I did ask her
the other day. I asked her yesterday, as a matter of fact. I said, because I was writing this prep, and I said, hey, I really feel convicted. When is that concert? Because I'd like to bring Annie up. And she goes, yeah, that was 2 weeks ago. So for me, it was an example of when selfishness can flare up in my life, when I don't want to be inconvenienced. I would consider myself a servant. I love to sacrifice for my wife, for my family, and there's many ways that I do that. But then there's moments that, man, if you're asking me to drive more than 3 hours, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. it was one of those moments. And then as I was walking, it was really interesting how I was just flooded with other little examples of just how selfishness is rears its head in I'm just sort of sitting in this space of going, all right, God, so what are you saying? And what does this mean? And how do I really guard that? So that's really the inspiration for today's show, is my own selfishness.
Well, Greg, first of all, I want you to know this is why we love you so much, because you are humble and you're teachable and you listen to the Spirit of the Lord. And I think any one of us, you know, you hear a scripture say, take heed if you think you stand, lest you fall. And you're innocently going, I think I'm doing well. And then the Spirit speaks and then you listened. And I just think, man, if the rest of us did that, even in the context of marriage, we would be less selfish. But I want to know for you, Erin, as you guys prepped for this, what were thoughts that came to you?
Well, I didn't really know that he struggled that much with it, because
when I
brought it up, he was like, yeah, I probably don't want to drive that whole way, you know, on Sunday. I'm actually home and I don't think I want to do that. And so I was like, oh, okay. And so I actually asked Murphy if she would do it, and she said yes.
Blasted my daughter.
But then I didn't get the tickets. it just didn't work out. So it was not a big deal. But to read that, I was kind of like, what? I mean, really? You were thinking all of that? And I didn't know that until I read it on the prep sheet. So we've had a little discussion going on, and I think we'll have more discussion, more opportunities for heart-to-heart
connection. There's nothing to discuss. I'm admitting I was selfish.
I know. And I would love to judge him harshly for his attitude, but of course I can't, because I often have the same selfish attitude. As human beings, we just simply often are drawn to that, and sadly, but it does wreak havoc in our relationships, especially in a marriage or in a family.
And there's something really powerful about, especially when the Spirit brings something to mind, and so you lean in and go, okay, keep speaking to me, you know, and he downloads truths, and it's never condemnation, but I always say it's information so that we can see transformation. And, you know, in Hebrews it says, you know, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. And I just think we do those one of two things. We shrug it off like it's nothing, or we fall apart like we're nothing. And both of those, I think, show an immaturity. So to not shrug it off, but not fall apart, but somehow rise up under it to say, there's always something I need to learn in this regard when it comes to love. And if we can show up in that way, boy, there's no end to what we can learn about how to love and how to love each other well. So talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley today from Focus on the Family. Also, I have 12 conference tickets to Thrive 2017 and Voskamp. Lisa Turkhurst, actually Bianca Olthoff will also be there. I'll be emceeing Unbelievable Worship Time, a really cool kind of vintage store for clothes and jewelry that goes to a great justice cause. It's going to be fantastic. I have 12 free tickets. All you got to do is email me, put Thrive in the subject line. Don't forget your mailing address. It's on October 13th and 14th, coming up pretty quick. And we'll talk more with Greg and Aaron about how to promote love in the context of marriage, back in a minute. Had to let that play out. Don't you just want to get up and dance? Oh my goodness, Greg, tell me you're dancing to that song. Are you?
I was not so dancing. I had to sit down because I was out of breath.
Out of breath. Okay. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my good friends Greg and Aaron Smalley about love and how to really deal with selfishness within the context of marriage. So this is something God just really surfaced, and you've been really paying attention to. So say more if you would, Greg. Take us kind of a little deeper in how you identify selfishness, what you do about it.
Yeah, I think for me, what's been convicting is just to kind of sit in that space and go, God, what are you really trying to say? I think there's an initial step of just being willing just to admit that you know, maybe there's ways in which we're acting selfish. I mean, obviously, as humans, I mean, this has been our problem for, you know, ever since we've been on this planet, that we are selfish. We show up in that way. That's a part of our sin nature. We're always fighting selfishness. You know, God sent his son as an example of his sacrifice, of Jesus' sacrifice, which is, you know, in many ways the opposite of selfishness. So we're always doing this. I'll deal with this for the rest of my life. I just think it was funny that I was sort of priding myself on, you know, pretty good. Things are going well. No major problems.
I wonder how quickly often we make God belly laugh. I'm just wondering. You know what I mean?
That's true.
He throws his head back. That's hilarious. Anyway.
Well, I'm happy that I gave my father a good chuckle.
Yeah. Notice he didn't ask me what I thought was going on. He's tried that one time and it didn't go so well.
How would you rate our marriage?
Yeah. Well, actually, I mean, later on, I read something from Tony Evans that he does with his wife that he asks her every week to tell him to tell. Yeah, he asks her to tell him how he's messed up, and I was just shaking my head, going, really? I mean, it's one of those things like, okay, I exaggerate sometimes too, speaking, but really? Do you really do that? And it's so intrigued me that I'm afraid.
Mm. I'm waiting.
I'm afraid. That's what I'm saying.
I'm ready. I'm going to go home and pour it.
Hey, I'm so prone to failure.
First of all, and be sitting in front of the fireplace. Well,
this is a gray space. Okay. So let's just all say we love Greg so much. I mean, you're irreplaceable. Greg, you are irreplaceable. Yes. But let's do it here. So go ahead and ask Aaron.
There you go, Aaron.
How has he messed up?
In the last week, how have I messed up?
You know, it's interesting because, like, often I would literally be able to say, you know, this is the way. But what comes to my mind first is not how you've messed up, but how I'll tell you, this is how you messed up. You brought me 4 gluten-free cupcakes on Sunday. And I ate 3 of them.
Yeah. Great.
And so really, it filled my little love tank because I didn't feel good and we had been gone and it was a rainy day and he went to Buffalo Wild Wings with Garrison. And I said, hey, there's that small cakes place right by there. Can you run in and grab me a gluten-free cupcake? And so he ran in, but he came out with 12. 8 not gluten-free and 4 gluten-free. And I think they're all gone now.
They were delicious.
So it was a blessing. And that's, you know, that's a good thing. That says something positive that was the first thing that came to my mind.
I was irritating you, though, with a noise. I remember several times that I keep getting corrected.
No,
I
wasn't correcting you.
Because I make some weird noise that she just drives her
crazy. The whole time we were in a hotel room and I was sick. So I didn't feel good, and my hearing was off because I was so plugged up. He was making this noise with his mouth over. Would you like to make it now?
And, I refuse.
And I just said, oh, what did I say? Like, why are you making that noise? It just was.
I'm a guy.
It was reverberating in my swollen eardrum. So. Yes, I would. I mean, I think that's something encouraging, though, that the first thing that came to my mind was a positive.
Well, it shows you.
In fairness, we were traveling together. We tend to do better.
And keeping short accounts
away from our children
is huge. You know what I mean? Keeping short accounts and keeping the conversation open. You know, and
what about Kevin? Let's pick on him for a while.
I'm going to pick on Kevin. You know,
what did he do?
He's not here. That's not
true.
And
that's
honestly, I'll irritate all kinds of people by saying this, but I can't think of anything. Just he's very attentive
so
and he's I know, sorry, but I love the guy. So okay, so let's dig in though. Talk to the person though who's probably throwing up in their mouth right now because they're like, okay, you made sounds in your mouth and Kevin hasn't done anything lately, but I can think of 100 things.
Greg brought gluten-free cupcakes.
Yeah. So we're killing this interview right now. We're just killing it. But really dig in because there are people who right now are in a season who are feeling like that's the word that defines my marriage is selfishness on both sides. What do you say?
Yeah. And first and foremost, I mean, I think the key is to recognize that we all have the capability of being selfish. We're human beings. We have a sin nature. For some reason, especially in marriage, there's this capacity to have it displayed or to experience the feeling of selfishness and to give our spouse the gift or not the gift of selfishness. And so it's just good because as you recognize, you know, as you experience your spouse as selfish, recognize that you're equally capable of being selfish. And I think for me, what that did, even as he admitted that he was having a difficult time thinking of driving Annie to Denver to meet me.
For 3 hours.
For 2 hours and 20 minutes. But regardless of that, that it was, I knew that I couldn't honestly judge him or react to it because I know that I am equally capable of that.
And, you know, you're so right. I honestly can't think of something more recently just because we're in constant contact. But I can think of something selfish that I did. And this was several months ago. Well, I've done something more selfish since then. But the thing that comes to my mind is he had a work function and where they go to these things where everybody dresses up and they're usually like there's a kind of a silent auction and it's a fundraiser, but it's big contractor things and it's all glitz and glam. And I hate that stuff. I just have to be honest. It's not my thing. And I've done a number of those, but he wanted me to go to one and I begged him to let me not have to go. And I, after the fact, I thought that was so selfish of me. But all I can think of is my feet hurting, shallow conversation, you know. I don't know. So I felt really bad about that. And I think when we come, I think part of moving towards each other is to find out what matters, to, you know, and maybe have a certain way of communicating to say, this is one of those times this really matters, because sometimes it really doesn't matter. So speak to that if you would.
Well, I think it's key that as we're thinking about this whole idea of selfishness, it's so easy for me to think about Erin first and review, okay, how she's shown up, what has she done, not done. And yet really this is about me evaluating me. So even if this was a harder season for us, and so even if we feel so disconnected, there's things going on, we're exhausted, we're battling something out, the key is to go, God, what is this looking like for me? Maybe I've ignored, you know, Erin's feelings or her interest. I've insisted on things being my own way. I asked her, and Erin, I think I asked you this, or I in my mind, I remember asking you this, but it seems like lately this idea of does our marriage skew to on my side or your side? Do you feel things are pretty balanced? In what she said was that it's pretty equal for the most part, but there is the evenings though is when I think you said that you struggle feeling more that it's going to skew towards what I like, mm-hmm. what I'm interested in.
Yes.
And I asked her, so what do you mean? And she said, well, hey, you know, you love to, as an introvert, you've used up your words, you're exhausted, you just want to sit down, watch TV or watch a movie. I mean, even if it's one of our shows, she said, you know, that's what you love. That's not, I do that, but it's not really what I love. And I asked her, so what during this season, because we've got a really busy season of travel, we're working on a new book. And I said, what could I do to show you love? And she said, you know, if you just check in and initiate a conversation and ask me how am I doing internally? How are things going in my inner life, my feelings, my hopes and dreams and interests and those things? She said, if you ask me those things, that's what I love. And yet I'm realizing that in the evenings it's hard for me. I don't think about doing that. I'm just ready to chill out. So things often in the evenings probably skew more towards my interest. And I think that's a way selfishness can rear up.
Mm. And boy, that's just a chance again to regroup and find again a win-win. And maybe it's, before I sit down to watch this show, let's go for a walk and catch up. Because a walk is just amazing what it does for the mind. It does even to decompress after a day. I mean, to find a win-win so that both sides feel engaged. But anyway, talking to Dr. Greg and Erin Smalley about selfishness. Maybe you've got questions that you have for them today. You can email them, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And remember, I've got 12 Thrive tickets. A handful of them have already gone out the door. So email if you want a free ticket to the Thrive Conference with Ann Voskamp, Lisa Turkhurst, October 13th and 14th. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Back in a minute. Really, really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to my good friends, Dr. Greg and Erin Smalley from Focus on the Family, about how to just get selfishness out of our marriage, just to mind the checks, keep short accounts, make the course corrections so that love can win the day. And just real quick, want you to know we are partnering with Bridging the Gap for the Thrive Conference 2017 coming up just in about a week and a half, October 13th and 14th in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Ann Voskamp, Lisa Turkhurst will be the keynotes. I'll be emceeing. It's going to be epic and amazing. I've got 12 tickets. Actually, 5 have gone out the door already. They're free. All you got to do is email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put Thrive in the subject line. Don't forget the mailing address. Well, one of the things you two say that's really great for promoting love is to give your spouse a chance and help them to find places of rest and life. In other words, help support their self-care. I'd love for both of you to speak to that one, if you would.
You know, it's been interesting as of late, probably for the last month or so, I have started seeing clients in a private practice. And there were times before I finished all my paperwork and the exams and, you know, getting all the legal stuff in place for me to be able to do this, that I would look at Greg and be like, I'm not doing this. I'm quitting before I even start because this is exhausting. But for some reason, he knew, and I also had a good feeling that it would be something that gave me so much life. Even though I'm usually seeing these clients at night and, you know, staying out a little bit later than I usually do, I come home so full.
Wow.
And it's like this place in my soul that I didn't even know existed, or that it needed this, that this meeting with these people at this deep level is just so satisfying. But yet my husband was 100% on board, and he knows that one night a week I'm going to be gone, but he's okay with that. He takes over, and he sometimes gets a bath or a shower, but sometimes she doesn't. But you know what? That's okay. She does great. So it's important that we really, you know, really study our spouse to really see what is it that brings them life.
It's a great, I tell you, Susie, I think it's a powerful question to ask your spouse, what gives you rest? In other words, what re-energizes you? And then what gives you life? What causes your heart to come alive? And when we're able to ask those things and really hear it, like I know for you, Aaron, too, that getting the having a personal trainer like once a week or something, just for, I know you're doing that for a few times, but... But
I went for the first time this morning, and I may not be thankful tomorrow.
Yeah. She's like, you need to go work out with this lady. I'm like, no, that's okay.
That's for you, baby.
I'll just stay home with my cupcake and eat those. But I think it's really paying attention, studying, as Aaron said, and noticing those things. You know, for me, I love to get up really early, about 4 in the morning, and have the basement to myself, to where we've got a couple, like we have an elliptical and a treadmill, and I can put ESPN on, so catch up on sports. I can just work out and be loud and not worry about the rest of the family. I'm not going to get interrupted. And, man, that brings life to me. It's not something that gives rest in the classic sense. But it's definitely a part of what gives me life.
That reminds me of, I think I know I told you guys about this. It was a number of years ago, our old pastor friends said, you know, and they said, don't go into your 50s without interviewing each other and asking what gives you rest, joy, and fulfillment. And and they said, you don't want to put those things off till your 60s. Otherwise, you'll show up dead on arrival. You'll be exhausted and it'll be take too long to recover. And we literally went home the next morning, spent 3 hours with our Bibles, journals, our coffee, and interviewed each other. And out of that came major life change. I mean, we moved, we changed churches. We just did all kinds of things that adjusted our lives. And the fruit that came out of that blew us away. But it's almost like you can so often live with a low grade fever and not realize it until you check in to say, you know, are the things you're doing life-giving, or is there something that could actually be better for you so you can flourish in the way God has, you know? But we go through our lives too fast and don't give time to that. But that one practice can make a big difference, can it?
It really can. And I think that's a great way that we can sacrifice for each other, is to learn those two things. What gives Aaron rest? What gives her life? Mm-hmm. And how can I join in to make sure that those things happen? Because, you know, I mean, even for her doing those for me, I mean, there's going to be inconveniences. There'll be times, you know, fishing, although we're in the colder weather now, I love to fish. That's another part of what gives me life, just to be outdoors, be on a river up in the mountains of Colorado. And that fills me. Talk about giving me joy and fulfillment and life.
Ooh. That's awesome. Wow.
But that means that she's home with the kids, and I mean, you know.
But I know what it does for him, and it's a kind of a reset. Or, you know, climbing the summer, he climbed so many 14ers. And I loved it because he was often climbing them with our 20-year-old daughter, Murphy. And it just gave me so much joy to see them doing that together. But yet it was knowing that he was going to get up at 2 in the morning and he would be home at, you know, 1 in the afternoon and exhausted and cranky and not wanting. But yet his soul was so full. His bucket was full. He just was, it was so good for him. And so I love what Greg said, that it is so true that it, you know, as we take the focus off of us and really genuinely be willing to sacrifice for our spouse, it makes all the difference. And what I love about all of this, everything that we're talking about, that, you know, in our humanness, we can struggle with this. But when we truly go to the Lord and just say, help me with this, we can't do this stuff on our own strength. You know, we can will ourselves and we can train ourselves. But the easier way is to say, Holy Spirit, help me, you know, be more sacrificial, to love more sacrificially, to take the focus off of me. And, you know, the mornings that I get up and I start there, it's a much better day.
It is.
Much yeah. better day.
Yeah. Because you're in the flow with really the Holy Spirit. You're working
yes.
in conjunction and in agreement with God's heart for you anyway. And it seems when you do that, your own needs get met along the way anyway, don't they?
Absolutely. Hmm. Absolutely. I love when, what I love is that when then God surprises you throughout the day and gives you those little heart kisses that just, you know, they're directly from Him and they're for you. And it is such a blessing when He does that, but it's just the overflow that you give to everybody else.
I think, Susie, for me, what we're talking about in this way of sacrificing to me, that's where I want to spend my time thinking that through, looking for opportunities, because I think sacrifice is very different than serving. You know, when God said, you know, in the beginning of His word that it's not good that man should dwell alone, he wasn't talking about loneliness, because Adam was walking, relating, connecting to God. And there's no way that he was lonely. He was alone. He was without help. Is a better way to say that. And there's going to be so many opportunities to notice that Aaron needs help, and there's ways I can come alongside of and help her, assist her.
In like tomorrow up the stairs?
Maybe, when you're so sore.
I'm so sore I can't
Day
go
two
up or
is
down
always
the stairs.
The worst.
It will be.
I'll kneel on all fours and just carry you right up.
You put me on the blanket and just drag me down.
Well, and it's easier though to help our spouse. It's a whole different ballgame when you're talking about sacrificing. That's when we give up something that we value, our time, our money, our resources. You know, for me, going back to the original story, when she asked me to drive Annie up to Denver and then turn around and it was a 2-hour swing, I mean, that was an opportunity for me to sacrifice that time for her. And that's where the selfishness reared its ugly head, because I was like, no. I want to watch football, and I mean there were so many easy excuses, and that's where I was convicted. Going, Smiley, you talk about this all the time, and you tell people that this is what an opportunity, and to look for those opportunities, and yet when presented with one, again, there's plenty of times that I sacrifice, but in this case, I didn't want to give up this thing that I owned, which was my Sunday time.
Do you feel when, like you were saying, Aaron, that when you just really begin the day with Holy Spirit, help me to live out of your love, help me not to be selfish, but to be selfless, sacrificial, lead me in that way. It's just a matter of really listening, being, you know what I'm saying, where you just keep that ear bent and you just listen to the nudge of the Spirit and do what He says. And if you get that check where you feel like, okay, mm-hmm. that I'm grabbing for myself, I'm going to back up again and reset my course.
Yeah. And over the summer, I really took that to heart and really tried to see when I was allowing God to interrupt my schedule and my time frames and what I had planned for the day. And the amazing thing to me is when you do that and you allow Him to bring people across your path, or, you know, someone knocks on the door and they need help, or one of the kids needs something, or Greg needs something, that the amazing thing is the blessing that you get as a result of sacrificing your time, your schedule, what you had in mind, your expectations for the day, that there is a blessing that is way better than what I would have accomplished in that hour time frame. I can remember on the first day of school, I dropped Annie off and I was on a time schedule, a time crunch, and I ran into a friend in the parking lot and I started talking to her and she started crying. And I mean, I was.
That's when my headphones would have gone on.
I know. Greg would have started sprinting, but I stayed and I talked to her and I knew I had an appointment at 10. And so it was, you know, it was important. I felt like, I very much felt like it wasn't an accident that I happened to cross paths with this friend, and we had a great talk, and I prayed for her. And the minute I got in the car, my cell phone rang. So I answered it. I mean, it was like the second I stepped foot into my car, my cell phone rings, and it's another friend, and she's weeping. And she says, "Can you come and pick me up at work?" And I'm like, "Oh my word, what is the deal? Is everybody crying?"
This is why I don't have friends.
This is why you turn, you put your cell phone on airplane mode.
Exactly.
And so I went and I picked my friend up, and it was, she needed a friend. And I remember that day, I didn't get to shower. I made it to my meeting, so I wasn't looking so great or smelling so great, but I was so abundantly blessed because I knew that God had placed that before me, and I actually listened and took the time to minister on his behalf and love these people. And, you know, there's times that we miss out on that. And I don't want to miss out on that anymore.
Mm, amen. Greg, do you want to add to that?
Well, I think in the course of sacrificing, so if we're talking about how do I act selfless, the easiest ways to do what God said in 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is, that Christ laid down his life, so we ought to for our brothers and sisters. So really the opposite is sacrifice. But I think we also have to mind our attitude, because another thing that I was reminded of when I was walking down that hallway in preparation to meet with a good friend of mine, where I was realizing I was acting pretty selfish, is that I realized that, like Erin said, that a part of what gives her life is to do counseling in the evenings with people. So it's a part of what she's doing as a professional counselor. And it's sometimes very late, and she'll realize she's the only one there in this big office complex. And so she'll call and say, "Hey, I'm a little worried. It seems like there's a car in the parking lot. Do you mind just to come and sit in the parking lot? As I come out, then I'll get in the car and we can go right home," because it's literally 2 minutes away. And the other day she called, I'm sitting in the parking lot, and I was so smug. It struck me how funny, as I sat there going, "I'm such a good husband. Look at me. Erin asked me to sacrifice. Look at me. I did it." I hope she remembers this.
I was going to say, another belly laugh from God.
Exactly. Yeah. I hope she notices, then I get credit for this. And maybe later on that night, maybe she'll, you know, whatever. I mean, it struck me how even with that opportunity, again, to give up my own time to sit in a parking lot waiting for her to come out, which is sacrifice. We have to be aware of our motives and just our attitude. It's easy to kind of be smug and, you know, "Look at me, how sacrificial I am," which that's, it's not about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to mind our attitude as we do these things as well.
And, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I was going to say that really the attitude is making sure that instead of selfishness, that it's humility.
Yeah.
That we are really taking on the humility, the attitude of humility, because what that does is it restores and it grows relationships. And, you know, it helps us to have a true perspective about who we really are, especially in line of what's been done for us.
Well, you think of the, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were done there.
No, I'm done. Go ahead.
I was going to say that love chapter, he talks about, you know, if I sacrifice everything, if I throw my body into the flames and give everything I have to the poor, who can ever even say that they've done that? But even if we do, but we have not love, it's nothing. Mm-hmm. We've gained nothing. It's noise. It is nothing. And I think part of that is when our heart is in the wrong place and we're smug. And I appreciate, again, your honesty, Greg, but we all do that, where we give and then we have an attachment to it. We'll pull that chain. You know, we'll call in the favor, and then it's not love anymore, you know?
It's not. And it's a great opportunity to be able to sacrifice. I think we talked about this a little bit earlier. I think another way that we can infuse selflessness into our marriage is by really making sure that there's room for both people.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I need to make sure that Erin feels like her likes and interests in whatever, that those are a part of our marriage, versus it, you know, really skewing to my side or my interests or the way I want things to go. And it's just a good, I tell you, it's a great question to ask your spouse, you know, does our marriage skew in one way or the other to one person or the other?
Yeah. It's a really good question. Talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley. So glad to have you listening today. Just talking about ways to cultivate unselfishness and love in our marriage, where selfishness may be just be an instinctive response. We don't even realize how often it creeps up. How can we start to mind the checks and even proactively ask the Holy Spirit, lead me by your Spirit so I can love well? We'll be back in a minute. Really glad you tuned in today. I picked a lot of fun music, don't you think? Susie Larson here. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley from Focus on the Family. This time about selfishness in marriage and how to kind of do away with it. How to really promote love and unselfishness in marriage. And one of the things that I so appreciated that you said in your notes here was give grace. See your spouse as they are, not how they're showing up in the moment. I'd love both of you to speak to that if you would.
This has been really, really transformational for me personally, because it's very easy when I'm a very routine person. I like things to be constant, to be steady. So any sort of rocking of the boat just sort of messes with me. Aaron, I see you smiling and shaking your head. It's true though. And so there's times that Aaron will do something for me, in my perception, it's out of the ordinary. It's you're rocking the boat. Wait, you're taking me out of my comfort zone, out of my routine. And I resist that and I react to that. For whatever reason, this has been another area that God's really been working on me to really see her not as how she's showing up in that moment. So maybe she's just irritated. Maybe something's going on and she snapped at me, whatever it is, to consciously go, God, help me not to see her for how she's acting in this moment, but give me a vision of who she's been over the course of our 25-year marriage.
That's really good.
And that might not work for everyone. And some people are like, yeah, my husband's acted this way the entire time. But I'm telling you, though, that there's ways in which that instantly gets me out of this kind of irritated, why are you rocking the boat? And it was such a good evening, and now you just did something that irritated me or frustrated me. It helps me to have the truth about who she is. Because who she is how she showed up for 25 years.
Right.
And I get that, but I lose that image when she does something that irritates me.
Hmm. What do you say, Aaron?
Well, especially because we have an enemy who's going to come in and skew how we see our spouse and take us to the extremes that, see, she's never going to change. She's always going to be like this. She always ruins that great night. And you know what I love about that is it truly fights the enemy's ability to come in and rock marriages, because it gives a perspective that is longstanding, that this is who she is. You know, it's kind of like knowing the character of God, that when we go through difficulties and we go through those rocky seasons, that we can stand on who he truly is. And I'm not in any way, shape, or form comparing humanness to that, but it's just good to reflect on who is this person really? Like, who have they been and who are they? Who do I know them to be? It really does make a difference.
I'd imagine it would disarm the angst of the moment, too, because you're stepping back and forcing yourself to have some restraint to say, okay, I'm getting a bigger perspective here. I want to zero in on this thing. And I think we kill a lot of marriages by majoring in the minors. But here's a question I want to grab right before the end of the show, Aaron. And I'd love to start with you. And if we have time, Greg, love for you to speak to it as well. But this dear listener says, how do I get my husband to connect? We've been married 27 years and always on a superficial level. We've attended every marriage seminar out there, and my husband will not read a book, and nothing sticks. Please help.
You know, that can definitely leave you feeling lonely and definitely disconnected. And it was so interesting, Susie, this morning with this trainer. She's this young gal. She's actually from Minnesota. And she was telling me, you know, my husband's an introvert. and I don't know how to get him to connect with me on a deep level. And so, you know, first and foremost, you know, really realizing who is, you know, what's your husband's tendency? Is he, you know, more of an introvert, and is he more an internal processor? And, you know, what is just knowing who he is and what he brings to the table. So this sweet little girl was asking me, you know, what do I do to get him to talk? And I said, well, I said, you know, often we assume that they're going to sit down and chit chat with us as easily as our girlfriends. And that's just not the case. And I said, I often use the backdoor approach and, you know, take him on a walk and, you know, he'll start talking to me when we're doing something together. However, for this gal, if this is a continuous issue over so many years of marriage, I mean, definitely I would have a conversation with him and, you know, encourage him to go in and talk to somebody and see where's the roadblock, where's the shutdown. You know, is a Christian counselor can help navigate that and really look at our hearts closed, our hearts hardened, and really assess, you know, what is really going on.
Yeah, he probably would feel safer to do that with a counselor apart from her to start with, I would imagine. Go ahead, Greg, sorry.
Well, it sounds like, and I'm reading into this, so I could be all wrong, but it's I'm hearing her say it's, I want him to read a book, and he's not wanting to do that, so I don't feel like we're connecting. Well, maybe he didn't like to read.
Let me reread it again, because I feel like she's saying they've been connecting, been married 27 years, always on a superficial level. They've attended every marriage seminar out there. Like, that hasn't helped. They're still superficial, and he won't read a book. Nothing sticks.
I'm saying so. He won't read a book. In other words, maybe that's the opposite way that he's ever going to connect. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is that I think that the option is to so study what he's interested in, what
Good
he
point.
Likes to do, and join in and connect mm-hmm. that way.
Great.
You know, it's a great example of, you know, as we all have had teenagers, or we've had teenagers, you know, they go through that season where they're pushing away. They're not interested in doing stuff with the fam. They're not interested necessarily in doing the stuff that they used to do with me that I like to do. And part of it is studying my girls, studying my son to go, what do they really love to do? Garrison's into a particular video game. I have no interest in that, but I'll join in. He likes to go out and shoot baskets in the driveway. Well, it's not my favorite thing, but I better know that I'm out there shooting with him, talking to him. I mean, there are signs.
Thus, you found yourself on how many, 9 14ers this summer?
Oh, exactly. with Murphy, loves to climb. I'm telling you, I don't need to climb to 14,000 feet. That's not normal. God didn't intend for us to exist at 14,000 feet, but I do it because I know that that's what she wants. And as we're walking and hiking and I'm huffing and puffing up that thing, I've had some of the greatest conversations. You know, there's times where I know Aaron hates football, but I tell you, I cannot describe what it feels like when she sits down and says, hey, isn't this that one team you were telling me about that has so-and-so coach that, you know, just lost a child? And tell me more. I mean, there's ways that she'll sit down and join in and sit there and watch a game with me and talk to me, and we're connecting. So I'm sorry that he's not doing that for you, and that breaks my heart, but you can connect with him around his stuff. At least that gives you some connection with him, and I'd pursue that.
Well, may God give you wisdom. That's a great word of wisdom, and I'm wondering, Aaron, if you'd pray in that regard for this listener.
Yes. Oh, Lord, we come before you, Jesus, and just ask that you do bring wisdom, that you bring wisdom of how to connect with her husband, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you soften hearts.
Yeah.
If there's hearts that are hardened or closed, Jesus, I just pray that your Holy Spirit comes in and does what he does, softens hearts. And so, Jesus, also just give wisdom if they should seek Christian counseling or whatever resource you're going to use to bring a deep connection, the connection that you desired for us to have in the gift of marriage. So, Lord, we just hand this over to you, and we love you. Amen.
Amen. Dear Greg and Aaron, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Always a joy.
Yep, always
love
a pleasure.
I appreciate you guys so much. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. And just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Coming up for hour two, Jan Sylvius joins me to talk about her book, Courage for the Unknown Season, Navigating What's Next with Confidence and Hope. Excited for you to hear about this book. We'll be back in just a bit.